Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Wesley and Chris and Ray. Hey, Ray, real quick, I ask this every year, but maybe you know the answer. What determines when we have Easter?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Chris, didn't we cover this several weeks ago, the question of the...
Yeah.
What determines when it falls in the year do it on a Sunday?
No, I know the Sunday part.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
talking
about...
I'll leave that one to you. Why is it when it is?
I'm not talking about the Sunday part. I'm talking about...
Moon.
Huh?
It's the first... Something about the first full moon after the... After the spring equinox, does that sound right?
Yes.
I know. If you're talking to somebody who doesn't know anything and you use the word equinox, they're satisfied with that. You know, because it sounds...
I'm
so,
completely
we
satisfied.
We went to a meteorological university,
as
so to us,
right.
It's,
it sounds, you know, like into discussion. You know, it has
that's
to
right.
do with the spring
Just
equinox.
Just throw the word equinox in and that's it.
I will
that's
mention
what I'm
this.
Saying.
I can mention this from the first thing that pulled up from a basic web search.
Okay, go.
The simple standard definition of Easter is that it is the first Sunday after the full moon that occurs on or after the spring equinox.
I thought y'all were making all this up. You're serious.
No, he's serious.
Hey, yeah.
Because that's why Easter...
I was pretty close.
Yeah, you were. That's why Easter jumps around. You could have Easter
right.
in March. You can have it in April.
The full moon falls on a Sunday, then Easter is the next Sunday, according to this I just found on the internet.
All right, today's the 28th, so... So Easter.
So does that mean that the full moon was last Sunday? Then is that what it's saying?
Well, I just know last night it was a grandiose full moon where we live, probably most of the country saw that. It was as bright. That moon last night was as bright as I've ever seen it. I've seen it as bright, but I've never seen it brighter. It is a full moon. So that I think you're onto something there. Is that what? Read that again for us.
Okay.
Chris. Read it slow for people in the South.
The simple standard definition of Easter is that it is the first Sunday after the full moon that occurs on or after the spring equinox.
So you were a Southern man doing a Southern act, doing a fake Southern accent.
Shazam.
Okay, that makes that. That's why it moves around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The equinox is what, March the 21st, maybe something like that.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah.
That's when spring begins, right?
Yes.
So you're saying
yes.
Go to the equinox,
yes.
And then go forward to the first full moon,
yeah.
And then it's the first Sunday after the first full moon. Is that right?
Yes. Now I will say that talking about that's the official day that spring goes by. A lot of meteorologists go by a different time period. Like there's a meteorological winter and spring and fall and whatnot. Generally, the first of that month that the season begins.
Can't have trivia on Friday. We're going to have it on Thursday.
We just had it today.
That's it. Wow. Nicely done.
I think we may have cleared up 50% of what that whole discussion was about, but I don't think we satisfied.
More like 15 or 20%.
We may have
actually. That's one of those where you tell yourself, I'm going to go back and listen to.
Right.
And then you go
That's
back
right.
and listen to, and then you go, I didn't
I'm
get.
I'm more confused now than I was before.
More confused now That's than it. I was at the beginning.
And then you start a third time, and you're like, no, I'm not doing this to myself.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not.
We know Easter's this Sunday, so happy.
We do know that.
One of my news writing professors in college did not like us to use the phrase Easter Sunday because, to quote her, everybody knows Easter's on a Sunday, so Easter Sunday is redundant. Just say Easter. That was a personal preference for her.
Oh, my word.
And
her and I
wouldn't
have got along.
Well, she was probably a joy just to be around.
Most professors were, you know. I kind of got the, why are you here? Like, you seem like a burnout, but anyway.
Easter Sunday, so. Well, you might be saying Easter weekend.
Yeah,
a lot of people use that term, too.
Sure.
Easter weekend. All right, listen, wanted to report some good news, some great news that has to do with our listeners here on American Family Radio. Got a message yesterday from our good friend Dan Steiner at Preborn, giving me a good report. And I said, why don't you come on and share that with our AFR listening family. Dan, you there?
Hey, Tim, yes. Yeah, it's good.
Hey, where are you joining us from? What part of the equinox?
I'm not sure what an equinox is. Exactly.
That's
well. I just
neither do we.
Yeah, okay. I was hoping you would know. What part of the planet? Where are you residing?
Yeah, the global world headquarters of Preborn Incorporated in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Indianapolis, heartland of America, right there. Indianapolis, Indiana. Yep. Well, you sent me a message yesterday about Preborn. Most all of our listeners are familiar with your ministry. But give us 30 seconds, 60 seconds for people maybe who are new to AFR, and then tell us what you told me yesterday, the good news or great news.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim. And thank you to the AFR listeners for partnering with Preborn. Preborn is the competition to the abortion industrial complex here in America. We, on an hour-by-hour basis, are reaching women on the internet and sending them to our clinics to meet their babies for the first time on ultrasound. And, 70-80% of the time they'll change their mind if they have that close encounter. First baby picture, if you will, of the best kind with their own baby inside their womb beside the pressures that are getting on them to abort. And so that's what we're doing together. We've been running for many years now. I'm not sure how many, but last year, 2023, was a great year. The listeners of AFR helped us tremendously, underwriting ultrasound sessions, underwriting ultrasound machines. You know, $28 underwrites a session, and many machines were underwritten. Result of that is something to celebrate, which is life. You know, here's we are in the spring, seeing life sprouting up all around us, and because of the Prince of Life, Jesus Christ, I'm happy to report that together, because of AFR and its listeners, which I got to tell you guys, if you want to support a pro-life organization, support AFR. Preborn probably couldn't do what we do without the support of this organization, AFA and AFR. We together save 59,243 babies at least.
Wow.
Hey, that's a round of applause. Amen. That's give God the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Say that number one more time. That's hard to believe.
Yes, it's a small city. 59,243 babies, and just as good, if not better, guys, is the fact that we trained 400 some clinics in evangelism. We trained 2,000 individuals in how to share in the centers. As a result of which, we saw 9,366 women that are now citizens of heaven, born again in our centers, giving their lives to Christ. So the gospel went forth to these women. Yeah, check it out. These women are coming in to get abortions, man. They left being Christians.
Yeah, that's right. So.
Wow. Praise God. And I mean, that with all the sincerity I can muster here, praise God for this. This is something. Here's what the beauty of what Preborn does, and it's a partnership between us and Preborn. But it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court does or doesn't do. Okay. Now we're all for pro-life legislation. We work for that each and every day. We are pro-life to the core here at American Family Association and American Family Radio, and we always will be, you know. But there are other ways than just legislation to promote life and defend the unborn and save the unborn and their moms from, save the unborn babies from being slaughtered, mm-hmm. and save their moms from hell. Mm-hmm. Because it's a Christian outreach, too, and they evangelize. And Wesley, you're looking at the Preborn website, right?
Yes, I am. And that's one thing that I was going to just say kudos to y'all, because y'all are, at this point, y'all are a complete ministry as it relates to the efforts of pro-life. Because, as you mentioned, you are doing everything you can to provide free ultrasounds for women. You're also putting yourself out there to let people know that this is a resource. And then in addition to that, you're witnessing to the mom and providing discipleship and counsel to her as well. So it's a full ministry for right. the efforts of the pro-life movement.
Preborn. What's the website, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah, that's preborn.com or preborn.org, like a preborn baby. Or they can go to #250 on their cell phones, and we've got people there that can talk to them too. But
okay,
just a thank you call here, Tim, to the listeners of, Amen. Of AFR here.
Amen. Well, great news. We celebrate, and I tell you what, Brent, can you put what Dan sent me on our Facebook page? You or Chris, that graphic with the numbers of how many young ladies gave their life to the Lord, how many babies were saved, and all that, because the money goes to provide an ultrasound. The ultrasound is shown to the woman who is thinking about having an abortion, and what happens is, and there's no coercion here, by the way, what happens is the young ladies see the baby, and their conscience is pricked, and they go, I can't go through with this abortion.
That's right.
I can't. And they may have to give their baby up for adoption because they're just not in a situation to properly raise the baby. That happens a lot, and that's fine because there are a lot of adopted parents out there who are longing for children. But so adoption is an option. Or they keep the baby, whatever the case may be, but the baby's not... Let me tell you something, folks, and I'm about to tell you something that children don't need to hear, but we need to be reminded of, because I'm about to get graphic for just a moment, but it's necessary to understand in this day and age of semantics where people who talk about abortion and they claim to be pro-choice, okay? Pro-choice, you'll hear these terms, pro-choice, isn't that American? I mean, that's Chevrolet right. Ford, mm-hmm. vanilla strawberry. I mean, we're all, who isn't for choice, right? Mm-hmm. So that works to their advantage
That's
to use
correct.
That terminology, pro-choice. Then they'll say things like, I believe in reproductive rights.
That's
okay,
right.
Reproductive rights. That also sounds like something everybody should be supporting.
Yeah, medical rights.
Rights, rights. Okay. Let me tell you the stark reality of the situation. And Dan, you correct me if I'm wrong. The stark reality, folks, of the situation is when an unborn baby is aborted in an abortion, quote, clinic. What happens is they chop them up and they reassemble them, the bodies. Or they shoot them with saline solution
mm-hmm.
and scald them to death. Those are two primary ways I know that abortions are done in the abortion clinics. I call them abortion mills. Dan, I mean, I don't, that turns your stomach to even think about that. But I'm just saying that when the pro-abortion people who call themselves pro-choice use the terms pro-choice, reproductive rights, keep your hands off my body, that's another thing, you religious nuts. You have to draw back to the reason why we're doing what we're doing with preborn. These babies, these unborn babies, I use the word slaughter. That's what's going to happen if they're not saved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did I say anything that wasn't accurate right there, Dan?
You have no exaggeration in rolling out the truth that they conveniently ignore about the travesty. And these babies feel pain, you know, starting at about 8 weeks, you know, to run a hair like probe across their face, they'll flinch. They feel pain and they're dismembered, their arms and legs are pulled apart. So that's the chemical, that's the surgical abortion, and it's a terror. And then 63% of the abortions now, Tim, are chemical. They're happening in teenage girls' bathrooms all across the country. So the baby's born through hours of bloody trauma on the bathroom floor. What are they going to do with that baby? Are they going to flush it? Are they going to put it in the trash?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a nightmare for these women.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like, this is.
I just get so tired of the language that these abortion rights advocates use because they're not being honest. They're using euphemisms.
Sure.
They're trying to hide the dark, stark reality of what an abortion actually is. Listen, if an abortion didn't end a human life, if an abortion didn't stop a heartbeat, you know what would happen? That baby would continue to grow and be born.
That's right.
So there's a they have to stop it. Well, what is stopping an unborn baby? It's killing human life. And God is against that.
100%.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So anyway, thank you, Dan, for being on with us. We wish you a happy Easter celebration. Do you want to say something with
One last thing, Dan. Where can people go on the website, or is there a place where people can find the locations that that y'all have the
ultrasound
trucks, machines, the locations they can go for your service that y'all offer?
Yeah, so for the reason, the fact that the people that do what Tim said in killing these babies are, you know, against us, we don't put all of our clinics on the site.
Okay.
We don't want to get hassled by these guys. But if they want to get onto our site and, you know, do an email or a chat, we'd be glad to help with the clinic nearest them.
Makes sense. Gotcha.
All right, thanks, Dan. Take care, my friend. Appreciate it.
Blessings, guys. See ya.
Okay, Dan Steiner joining us from Indianapolis, Indiana. Ray, your comments?
You know, it's a miracle business that they're in, a miracle ministry. Against all the darkness and the bloodshed and the slaughter, all the things you said, Tim, that are true, here we've got a ministry working miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. 59,000 babies saved last year, over 9,000 moms going to heaven, sins forgiven because of the witness and the work of the people at Preborn. I can't imagine a better investment of your money saving babies and helping moms find Jesus. So, Tim, I'm glad we partner with them. Amen. Doing great work for God.
Let me ask you this, Ray. As somebody who has studied the scriptures most of your whole life, and you thought about this, and, you know, people always say, well, when does life begin, right? Well, for the Christian... Well, I'm speaking both. It doesn't matter for the Christian or the non-Christian. We can talk because the scripture only backs up and agrees with science in the sense that a biology, right? If that's the particular study in science that I think I'm right about that, thinking back to my junior high years. The Bible, so does the Bible speak to?
Yes, over and over again it does.
Okay.
That babies are born, they are created, they are made by God in the mother's womb. I'm looking at Psalm 139, verse 13. David said, "For you formed my inmost being." And then there's this phrase, Tim, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." Now, somebody will say that's not a scientific statement. No, but it's a perfect description of what God does, that it is God who is behind the creation of all human life. And David says, "I praise you, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." In verse 15, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." Just as somebody knits, they knit, they're making a sweater, they're making mittens. God knits together the pieces, the hands, the feet, the legs, and he creates the baby inside the mother's womb. We don't have to doubt that. Tim, who is the author of life? It is Almighty God. And you and I and all of us, we owe our existence to the fact that God put us together inside our mother's womb. And to attack a baby in the womb, besides being a terrible, terrible sin, it's an attack on the creative work of Almighty God himself. And anybody who works to save the unborn, they are doing the work of God, and they deserve our support.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We got, I don't know, approximately 4.5-5 minutes to go on the program today. Chris, do you have? I can shut down any negative stories. Just
swat them.
Yeah, anything strikes your fancy?
We can talk about the equinox again, Chris, if we're out of story.
Well,
we didn't finish with the equinox.
There's so much more to be said. Yeah.
May I ask Ray a question about where God is on the issue of life? To continue our discussion that we just began there, coming out of the preborn interview, we sometimes get comments at the bottom of our articles, and people are free to share their First Amendment freedoms and their thoughts on our stories. But, you know, we often hear how God is for abortion, that God is okay with abortion. The Bible is okay with abortion, all these kinds of things that I'm sure Ray has heard time and time again. And I've always kind of been, I've never engaged with these people.
Are you talking about on the American Family News site?
Yeah, we do sometimes get comments down at the bottom.
Okay, so on our American Family News site, we have stories, and then below that you can comment about them.
Yes, and of course, and even beyond our website's experience, you have people like Senator Raphael Warnock, who is a pastor, that has made claims like the Bible is okay with abortion, all these kinds of crazy things. I have always had this kind of reaction that I've never shared with anybody, but I've been like, if God really thought that way, why did he take time out of his book to give a shout out to the Egyptian like maids that refused to comply with Pharaoh's order to kill the Jewish babies? Why did God say he hates things like hands that kill innocent blood? The list goes on. I could spend the rest of this year talking about this to give examples, but would that be a proper type thing to share with somebody if and when they heard that kind of thing, Ray?
Well, you don't have to go any further than the sixth commandment in the King James, thou shalt not kill. Literally, in the Hebrew, it's murder. It's the unjustified taking of an innocent human life. It's hard to imagine a more innocent human life than a baby in the womb. Without regard to the mother, father, without regard to the circumstances of the conception, the one clearly innocent person in every abortion is the baby inside the womb. Thou shalt not kill. God puts a sign of protection over the womb, and he says, do not touch and do not harm. And I think we're going to see the words of Jesus were very real when he said, anybody who harms these little ones, better that a millstone were hung around their neck and cast into the deep sea. There will be a great judgment for those who not only took the life of the unborn, but for those politicians who callously supported it in the name of freedom or reproductive freedom or reproductive choice. Our God is a God of life. We ought to stand for life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death.
Amen. We got 30 seconds. How long we got here? Ray, what about someone listening right now? They're either a guy who took a young lady to an abortion clinic and now regrets it, or a young lady listening who allowed for an abortion to take place. She had her unborn baby killed.
Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The whole point of Good Friday is to say we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. The boat's going down. Jesus died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, so that even if you were somehow involved in an abortion, which is a sin, you can be forgiven. That's the good news of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. You can be forgiven. Run to the cross.
Ray, what's your website?
It's keepbelieving.com.
Keepbelieving.com for Ray Pritchard's website. Ours is AFR.net. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Wesley, appreciate it.
I enjoyed it.
Ray, thanks.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks to Alex McFarland and Dan Steiner, who were with us today, and our producer, Brent Creeley. And we, again, we won't be here tomorrow with Trivia Friday. We're going to have some Easter specials to air that you're going to really enjoy. And we hope you have a wonderful Resurrection Day Sunday and celebration with your family and your church family. And we'll see you back here live on Monday for another edition of Today's Issues.